Amen. Praise the Lord, eh? Awesome. Thanks. It's one of those times you just don't want to do anything. You just don't want to do anything. I remember back in when I was youth pastoring at the last church I was at, and we had a visiting ministry down. We had Cindy Rurikiri and Jay Luca Aruka and Kristen Williams, and it was a youth service. And you know, youth services, I mean, they used to get pretty crazy in the early days, our younger days. And but there was a moment at the end of the second night, I think it was, and there was just a sense of his presence. And for 40 minutes, young people just did not even move, didn't even say a word. And I kept looking at Cindy kept looking at me, I kept looking at Jay. We were like going, well, what do we do now? But none of us wanted to even move. And for 40 minutes, it was just still. There was no music. It was like, it was just, and you know that was God, because you try and get 150, 200 young people to stay silent for 40 minutes and not even moving. So yeah. Hey, just some notices before I get into it. We're going hard out this year. Hoedown for Hospice. Hands up if you remember the 80s night we did for the charity hospital. If you're a part of the church back then, we raised over $20,000 for the charity hospital. And I was literally on a high that entire week after that entire event. I was on a high. I was like, mate, we need to do these every year. Then I remembered how much work it was, so we pulled it back to buy every second year. So this year we're doing a Hoedown for Hospice, and then so we're our charity that we're going to be raising funds for is, of course, Hospice Southland, and they're blown away by the fact that we have chosen them as our recipient. So on the 17th of August, the Saturday night, it's going to be on like Donkey Kong. And there is going to be 10-gallon hats, there's going to be chaps, there's going to be boots, there's going to be everything to do with country, and we may even let in some Western as well. And so tables, we're selling tables, and last time I think we had 170 people. This year we've upped the ante and we're going for 300. And just freaking out, Johanna. No, 190, and but it's just a great fun night. And as a church, this is the way we stand out in the community. And so it's if you want to help, we need all hands on deck. Leading up to and the night of and afterwards, and you might go, well, I just want to come and eat the food, so that is fine. Tickets go on sale, tables go on sale, grab a table. There's only 19 tables, is that right, available? Did we work on that? 23 tables, okay. 24, do I get another one? Another hand? And so anyway, that's coming up, so there'll be more information coming out. There'll be a lot of ways we can help with that and assist with that. I've got a playlist on my phone. The band is cranking out the country tunes, and it's on. Same, like, it's going to be out at the Aotearoa Community Centre, and but it's just, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward. Second yearly drumming moment that I just love doing. And so I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to the band cranking out songs like Wagon Wheel and Billy Ray Cyrus and, oh, come on. Now onto more spiritual matters. Tonight we have got our Church at Teaching Night. We've got Pastor John Elliott coming tonight, and it's held at our Aotearoa venue. And it is at 7 p.m. And John's, over the years, in regards to our words and the negative and positive effects that they can have on us as individuals, on us as groups, as us on the corporate body. Because when you speak, you can speak to yourself, you can speak to someone else, you can speak to a small group, you can speak to a larger group. And so the effects of the words that we speak, whether it be negative and whether it be positive, the research is out, and it's pretty much, if you speak positive, it's positive. If you speak negative, it's negative. In fact, it's interesting that all this research over the years, actually, you could go right back into the Word of God, and in Proverbs 18:21, it says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat of its fruit. They could have saved a lot of money doing research. They could have saved a lot of money doing study if they'd just gone and looked at Proverbs 18:21, and it's right there in black and white. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Now, there's some key words in that. There's death, there's life, and there's power, and the tongue being the spoken word. In the Message, Proverbs 18:21 says this: words kill, words give life. They're either poison or fruit. You choose. Death, life, power, or the tongue being the spoken word. So it's interesting that the words we speak can either bring life to someone or bring life to a group, or they can bring death to someone, or they can bring death to a group, but they can also bring life to you and death to you, depending on what you are speaking over yourself. James 3 verse 5 to 8 says this: so also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird or reptile or sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It's a restless evil, full of deadly poison. Does what we speak matter? 100% yes. What you speak over yourself matters. What you speak over one another matters. What you speak into someone else's life matters, because as Proverbs says, it has the power of life and it has the power of death. We choose what one. It's interesting that the word power here in the Hebrew is actually the word yad, which literally means hand. It means hand. We can either hand someone encouragement that births life, or we can hand devastating, strangling words that tear down and destroy. So when you are speaking to someone, it's literally you are handing them words. You are handing them power. And as a church, as believers, as born-again Christians, we have the mandate to speak life. We have the mandate to hand life to people. See, whatever is in our heart is what's going to flow out. You see, they're not just words. They come from somewhere. And whatever our heart is full of, it's what's going to flow. In Luke 6:45, in the NLT version, it says, a good person produces... No, I don't want to open Safari. A good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart. And an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. What you say flows from what is in your heart. The English Standard Version says it like this: a good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good. Good, good, good. But the evil person out of his evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. The word translated as treasure means store. Store of something, and its secondary meaning is valuables. It means a strong room, a granary, a safe, or a cavern. It is not the valuables themselves, but the place where they are kept. And here's an interesting piece of information for you to write down. It is also the basis of our word thesaurus. Our heart is a storehouse, and out of the storehouse, whatever is in the storehouse will come out. Out of the treasure storehouse. The word thesaurus comes from the Latin word thesaurus, which was derived from the Greek thesauros, which the literal meaning of the Greek word, origin word, is treasure or treasury, storehouse or chest. In other words, a thesaurus is a book or a treasure chest of words. In 1805, British doctor Peter Rodgett started compiling a list of words arranged by meaning. He completed and published the first modern thesaurus in 1852. And this version of the thesaurus is still circulating today. The original name of Rodgett's thesaurus perfectly encapsulates the importance of thesauruses and the cinnamons they provide. And there's nothing wrong with my England. I speak good England. The thesaurus of English words and phrases classified and arranged so as to facilitate the expression of ideas and assist in literary composition. So out of the abundance, out of the overflow, out of the treasury of our heart, out of the thesaurus of our heart, the mouth speaks, the tongue speaks. That's why I love worship, and I love what we did there, because we sing the sung songs, but then there's a moment where the sung songs stop. There's a moment when the screen stops displaying. What happens there is then our heart kicks in. And out of the overflow of our heart, out of the storehouse of our treasury, praise and worship comes out. But if you have nothing in the storehouse, if you have nothing in the treasury, what's going to come out? Nothing. Nothing. Out of the abundance of what is stored away in our treasury, out of the abundance of what is stored away, out of that place flow, out of that flow what the mouth speaks. A thesaurus is a place where words are kept. Jesus is talking about how words come out of our heart. Good words come out of a good heart, and bad words come out of a bad heart. Could it be that the heart is the place where words are kept, and these words are valuable? You see, when you stand in the mirror in the morning and you look at yourself and you say, "Hey, good looking. How you doing?" Hey? Like... You stand in the mirror and you say, I like you. You stand in the mirror and you speak words. They're not just words you're speaking over you. They're actually life. You're not using the power of words to build you up. You're using the power of words to speak life into you. You can stand in the mirror, and if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you can stand and you can say, I am a child of God. I'm a child of God because this tells me I'm a child of God. This book, which is God's word, tells me I'm a child of God, and I can speak that. Knowing that I am a child of God, I can speak life into me by the choices of words that I use to speak over me. You talk to any counselor in this room, and we have got a number, and I guarantee they will say exactly that. You get up in the morning and you speak in the mirror and you go, I don't like you. I don't like your past. I don't like what you've done. You're nothing. And a lot of those words are there because that's actually what's been spoken over them in the past. So they choose to believe those words. Why? Because the power of words bring life, or the power of words bring death. When you speak to someone else, what are you saying? What those 16,000 words that you speak in a day, how many of those words are used to encourage? How many of those words are used to uplift? How many of those words do you use to speak life? If you were to put those words in your hand and hand them to someone, are they going to bring life or will they bring death? Sometimes we can just casually just throw words out there because they just flow. But maybe we started thinking about, actually, if I put those words in my hand of power and I choose the direction in which they are going, are they going to bring life or are they going to bring death? Is the person I'm speaking to, are they going to leave feeling encouraged or are they going to leave feeling worse than what they came in? Because as Christians, they should come into where we are and they should leave better than what they came in. By the use of words, out of the abundance, out of the overflow of our words, out of the treasure house, people need to feel different than when they first came and met us. Matthew 12:34 says this, you brood of vipers, how can you say anything good? For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. NLT says, for whatever is in your heart determines the way you speak. You know, last week we heard Anne share prophetic words that from a conference in Christchurch, and they're prophetic words for us as a country. And one of those words is, there's a sense that God is cleaning house. He's lifting the rug. And I get a sense that one of those areas that he's wanting to clean houses is how we speak. How are we speaking in the world? How are you speaking around your Christian friends? How are you speaking around your unbelieving friends? What words are you handing to them? What are they getting from you? And the power of the spoken word. And I think God is calling us to account, saying, my words bring life. And if my words are in you, then out of you should flow the words of life. Out of you should flow my words. Out of the treasure house, the word of God should flow. So stop pulling people down. Stop criticizing people. Stop gossiping about people. Stop putting your opinions and sharing your opinions of how you think things should be. And maybe go, I'm going to choose life. In fact, my mum and dad growing up, they'd always say, and I guarantee every single person in this room has heard this, if you can't say anything nice, I wonder how many times as a Christian we would be silent. I wonder how many times we would be silent. I mean, there's many who get behind the computer and they become warriors of the keyboard. It's the same thing. what you are putting out, does it speak life? Or is it going to bring death? Is it going to bring someone down? Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 17, Paul was teaching and he's saying, with the Lord's authority, I say this, live no longer as the Gentiles do. He's preaching, he's sharing, he's instructing the church. There are some issues in the church and he is instructing the church about these issues. And down in verse 28, we read, if you are a thief, quit stealing. Instead, use your hands for good work. And then give generously and others in need. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so that the words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. Let your words be an encouragement to those who hear them. Who are you walking around? Who are you talking to? What are you saying? How are we speaking? What are the words that we are choosing to say? What are the words we are choosing to use out of the storehouse, out of the treasury of our heart? What are you putting in your hand and giving to someone? Sticks and stones. As a child, we all would recite that. And it was a mask, because the reality is they do hurt. But to save our face was, sticks and stones, they break our bones, but names will never hurt me. And then you go home, they hurt me. The words they called me, Mum. As an adult, though, we don't so much name call when we speak. But we can speak with a critical spirit around people. We can pull people down around. We can gossip and talk amongst ourselves and get on the Christian grapevine. I read this, if you're like most humans, then you've probably been on at least one end of the grapevine a few times. Like it or not, gossip is a part of everyday life. And I found this interesting. In fact, scientists speculate that gossip may actually bring us humans closer together. How sad is that? How sad is that, that scientists speculate that gossip actually brings people closer together? Robin Dunbar, who's at Oxford University in the United Kingdom, likens gossip to the constant grooming of other primates. Baboons pick bugs out of each other's back hair, and we humans talk about others behind their backs. It's the verbal glue that keeps our social bonds strong. Jennifer Boson, another researcher who's a professor of psychology at the University of South Florida, agrees that sharing our dislikes of others helps develop a bond between the gossiper and the listener. As a church, we're trying to build community. We're trying to build relationships. Now, you can build relationships through gossip. Did you hear what Pastor Jono spoke about the other day? Actually, you're right. I did hear that. And how did you find it? I didn't find it that good. Actually, you're right. Neither did I. I wish he would just tell a few more jokes, and you start to connect. But the connection is through gossip. The connection is through words. The connection is through. But when you go to people and your friends, and man, did you hear that message the other day? It was awesome. It challenged me. Or, you know, I didn't like the worship as much. Do you think the worship goes on too long? Oh, I think you're right, because I was looking at my clock. It actually went for 15 minutes longer than it did last week. Oh, I hope we're not going to turn into one of those churches. I've got the chandeliers coming in next week, so we should be fine. I came in like a wrecking ball. No, I'm not going to swing in from a wrecking ball on the side of stage for visual effects. When two people share a dislike for one another for another person, it brings them closer. When two people share a dislike for one another or for another person, it brings those two people closer. And then those two people share with someone else, and it brings them into their group, someone else in the group. And all of a sudden, you've got a group over here murmuring and mumbling because they've just connected together in the use of their words, and out of the storehouse of their heart, out of the treasury, they have bonded together. As a church, we've called to love, to encourage, to build up, to edify. And for that, we need to use words. What's in your treasury, church? What's in your storehouse? Proverbs 12:18 says, "As reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of a wise brings healing." Our words can bring healing. Our words should bring love. Our words should bring encouragement, edification to yourself. To yourself. Proverbs 4:20-23 says this: "My son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ear to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and health to one's whole body. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows out of it." Solomon wrote these words, and he addressed it, "My son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ear to my words. Don't let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart. Keep them within the treasury, for they are life to those who find them, and health to one's whole body." You know, our Father in heaven says the same to us. "Jonathan, pay attention. Read my words. Place your words, his words, in my treasure. In my treasury, in my storehouse. Place them there so that when I am speaking to myself out of the abundance of the Word of God, out of the abundance of what's in my heart, out of the abundance of the Word of God that is placed within me, it brings life to me." When you're speaking to others, handing the words over, power out of the storehouse of the Word of God that's been placed in your heart, out of the storehouse of the Word of, out of the overflow of what you have done building relationship with the Father, out of overflow, out of the abundance of what you have put into your heart, comes out and speaks life to others. John, it says that they, meaning the outside world, will know me, him, by our love for, not him, as part of it, but for one another. So the world, who are looking at us, who are watching us gossip, watching us backstab, watching us pull down, watching us talk amongst ourselves, watching us pulling down each other. The world looking in is, what do they see? Is it reflecting his love? As a church, the world, I want the city looking in and seeing our love for one another. Because if they see the love for one another, if they listen to how we talk, how we speak, how we use our 16,000 words a day, out of our abundance, out of our overflow, they will see and hear a difference and know the Father because of our love for one another.